right, I'm reading Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, that's we're talking on the faith that takes, and this particular teaching here is going to focus in on the faith without works, without works. All right, look what it says. I want to read that out of the Amplified Translation. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So what we're saying is that this is something that is going outside of our ability to feel it, touch it, taste it, smell it, and so forth. It's faith, and that it's something that is operating basically on what we call the level of the sixth sense. I don't mean that in an occult way, but it's something that's outside of our senses. Now, to leave the senses is by itself our real task, because we've been so highly trained in our senses and having things to conform to some way that we can be able to contact it. But when it's outside of that, you can't contact it with the senses, and basically people don't want to leave that place because to them it's the unknown. But in the kingdom, the unknown is friendly. So let's go now over to Mark's gospel in Mark chapter 11. And in Mark chapter 11, we read one scripture, verse 34. Therefore, I say unto you, that what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Okay. Now, this is the way you receive from God. You have got to believe that you receive something that you can't feel, touch, taste, smell, or whatever, but you've just got to believe that you receive it. And if you believe that you receive it, you shall have it. So this faith that he's talking about is something that it takes to please God, because that's the application of faith is what you're going to have to use to lay hold on the promises that God has for you. And so you're going to have to simply learn how to operate outside of your senses. Now, I'm trying to simplify that as much as I can. Now, this sense area has been a boundary for most folk. So basically, if it's outside of that, a lot of people say it doesn't exist. But it does exist. All you have to do is look at, you know, radio waves. I mean, you can't see them in here, but they're running all through this place or whatever have you. So those things exist. I mean, all you have to do is look at your head. You got a brain in there. You can't see it, but you know that there's something in there some kind of way, I hope. Okay. Now, so faith reaches out and takes what promises or lays hold of the promises God has made to you. And it simply is using, faith is simply using what belongs to you. It all, healing already belongs to you. Deliverance already belongs to you. Prosperity already belongs to you. So we're not trying to treat God like a Santa Claus, because it's already yours. It's just you now having to be able to bring it into the manifestation of this three-dimensional world. And the way you do that is through something called faith, all right? So we said it's a faith that takes and not the faith that waits. Now, you're not taking it from God because he didn't have it. What he's done is given it to you, but the enemy has tried to sit on it. And the way we could look at that, an analogy that we could use, is Canaan land. God says, I've given you that land. But that land was occupied by people who it really didn't belong to. So what God's people were going to have to do is they were going to have to go in and possess it. So that's the same thing about all the promises of God, that you have to go in and possess it. Now, when you're talking about faith and how faith works, one, we know faith works by love, and that faith is something that, Lord have mercy. If I stay there, I'm going to stay there all night. Let's start here. So let's talk about what we're going to say tonight. Let's go to James chapter 2. Yeah, I just got to get over there because it's so much here. James chapter 2. All right, let me know when you get to James chapter 2. Verse 17. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Well, show me thy faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works, come on, is dead. Now we stop right there. So, faith without works is dead. All right. Lord have mercy. There's some good stuff. We were talking about last time the force of faith. And I just want to show you a truth that it may help you, okay, in terms of faith. Let's go back to a scripture so I can show you this. I want to show you this. It's a couple of things I want to show you, so just be patient. Look at Mark chapter 5, and this is when this woman had an issue of blood. Look what it says here. See, the reason why I'm covering this, or the Lord, I think, instructed me to cover it, is because you can sit in church and end up with no faith. I know you're wondering, well, how can that be? Well, I'm wondering, how can that be myself? Now, I'm telling you this because if you had faith and you operated or acted on it, it would work. But if you have something else that you call faith and acting on it and it doesn't work, it's because you didn't have faith. Got it? And so what we want to find out is what you got. No, is this okay if we try to investigate this? Because you may think you have something that you don't really have. Okay, now, verse 22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Okay? Now, that's a faith statement. Okay? Having faith in God. He's saying, now, you come and lay your hands on her, and she's going to live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood, 12 years, she had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be what? I shall be whole. That's a faith statement. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. So what made her whole? Her faith made her whole. Now, how did she get faith? You can't get it but one way. So how did she get faith? She heard about Jesus. So faith comes how? And hearing what? So if I want to develop my faith, I need to hear the Word of God. Is hearing the Word of God one night in here sufficient?
No.
Okay. Now, it depends. You can get somebody that's desperate enough, and sometimes they can hear one time. You got what I'm saying? Because that water really soaks in the ground that's thirsty. And do it just like that. But this woman heard about Jesus, for she said, and the Bible says in the Amplified, for she continued to say, if I can just touch his clothes, I shall be whole. All right. Now let me ask you, did that make sense?
No.
Made faith, all right. Let me take care of this. Okay, made faith. I just kidding. All right, suppose you said that. If I can just touch Pastor Wentz's clothes. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying, okay, her faith was in that she could touch his garment and it'd be made whole. Now, I know we got a lot of things about his garment and the priest's garment and so forth. So I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about a point of contact as this lady established. Now, fear. Do you remember in the book of Job? He said in Job chapter 1, and I think it's verse 21. If you'd put that up on the board for me, please. And he said, naked I came. No, the verse before that. Verse before that. The Lord gave and the Lord has... No. I want the verse that says... The thing... No, I don't want that. I want Job chapter 3 and verse 25. Okay? For the thing which I what? Greatly feared has come upon me. And that which I was afraid of... Come on. Has come to me. Then notice what that verse said. The thing that I greatly feared is come upon me. Is come. What I feared is come. It's like fear drew it. Is this the right bunch I'm talking to? Fear drew what he didn't want. Because that's fear's job. Well, if fear will draw what you don't want, what will faith do? Now you can see why the enemy doesn't want you to have faith. Because faith will draw the things that God has planned for you to have. And in this case, what did faith draw?
Her healing.
Her healing. It drew Jesus. He wasn't directing his ministry at that point. God was. He was God. He was under the Holy Ghost control. And he was walking with this man Jairus and stopped. Now what made him stop? His woman. Her faith. Your faith can draw the promises of God. Now let's prove that. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. I told you, you are in a no-toil zone. Deuteronomy 28. Put it up on the board, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God hath set thee high above all nations of the earth. Next. And all these blessings shall come on you. Keep going. And overtake you. I don't know why he switched. All these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Was never meant for you to run after the stuff. Meant for you to draw it. I was just reading a book by a guy named John Maxwell who's talking about laws of leadership. One of the laws is law of magnetism, and he was talking about Dallas Cowboys and how you don't draw what you want, you draw what you are. Jesus. And how when Tom Landry and the other general manager had the Cowboys and how they drew and how it was such a quality organization, and all of a sudden it changed management, changed leadership, changed coaches, and boy, you had some wild bunch there that took off after that. Now that's kind of interesting because he is saying it's interesting, a lot of people want to draw what they want, but they don't know they draw what they are.
Jesus.
Now, you follow what I'm saying? So if that be the case, I don't want any fear. Because fear will draw what I don't want. But if I have faith, faith will draw the promises of God. The blessing of God will come on me and do what to me? That means I can't even outrun the blessing. I can be running down the road and the blessing will come on me and push me down. Okay? Now that's one thing. Now you're talking about faith now, because that's why you got to get faith. Get this image inside of you, this faith image inside of you, and it'll draw what you're looking for. Okay? So if fear will draw something, faith will draw something. So I got to develop my faith. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now, don't be trying to feel development. Because people start saying these scriptures and you start meditating them, faith is coming. The reason why you know faith is coming, because you'll be thinking, you'll be meditating that scripture, but then something will lead you to another scripture. That's when you know faith is coming. Are you following what I'm saying? And it just started building these scriptures. I'm meditating on no taxes. That's pretty good meditation, eh? Then, and even though I pay tax, it come out of my paycheck, then I want my reimbursement. All of it. And the reason why I can say that is because Tudor Bismarck came here, preached a message, and he said, I'm done paying taxes. Now, he doesn't say he's going to break the law. He is saying, hey, whatever I paid, I want it back. And the way he's going to do that is work the word. So I had to find a word on no taxes. So I had found one, and that was in Matthew chapter 17, where he went and got the tax money out of the fish's mouth. So let the world pay your taxes. Got it? But then I had to find one more. And I found it this morning. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 17, David asked him, said, what am I going to get if I slay Goliath? He said, one thing you're going to get is no taxes. Oh, boy. I said, all right. Now, why? I'm meditating and it's leading me now because faith is coming. Now, what is faith going to draw? Exactly what I'm believing for. Say amen to that. See, now notice I didn't say go out here, don't pay your taxes, break the law, do all that hair in your kitchen, don't pay taxes and so forth. I didn't say anything about that. I didn't say, did I? Did I? Don't want this to go on television and so forth. I said that I can have a way that legally that which I have paid will be reimbursed to me and be done by the kingdom of God. Man, I love this stuff. All right, now, let me just give you one more thing. Y'all still with me? So what happened was that when we came here, we had come here with about $200 to our name. Y'all heard the story? You better say, yeah, I'm going to tell it again. Okay, so came about $200 to our name. So what happens now? We're staying with this dear sister. And now it's time to get out of this. You know, we've been there for 5 months and trying to get out. Now, understand, to get out, we need to get an apartment or something. And so we're trying to get to the apartment, but it just seems like every time we try to save money, then something would happen. And what would happen is, I remember one situation. We had saved about $1,000. Could get out, get an apartment, you know, so forth and so on, get a couple pieces of furniture. Because when we left Minnesota, we just sold all our furniture. We sold everything. And so here we were. And I'm believing God. And the next thing you know, I'm coming over there in Oak Park. And the front end of the car, bloom, just falls down. I mean, like, no shocks on it. Boom. I mean, stops right there. You know. The guy, the garage was nearby. He came and looked at it. He said, this is what happened. And I said, how much is it going to cost? He said, about $900. He had it fixed. Well, I had saved $1,000. Now I'm trying to get out. But I'm trying to save money, and every time I try to save it, something happens. Okay. Now, this is a real important truth that I'm about to tell you. My getting out of that house was not a money issue. I taught you this on Sunday. It was not a money issue. As long as I kept it a money issue, I struggled. So I went on 3-day fast, and I was asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you tell me what happened. What's up here? I can't get out. Now it's 8 months now. And he said 4 things to me. Slow down. Listen for God. Listen to God. And act. So, okay. I slowed down. Began to praise God. Pray in the Spirit. God said, declare when you're leaving here.
Amen.
I said, I'm going to be leaving in 7 days. Now, why I picked 7, I don't know. But that's what I picked. So I went back to my wife. I said, baby, We are moving in 7 days. At first she said, oh, praise the Lord. How many of you know everybody that say praise the Lord don't really mean praise the Lord? But anyway, now understand, this is my faith. This is not her faith. This is my faith. So then next day I said, well, baby, this is about a Saturday. I said, we leave, we're moving in 6 days. I said, why don't we go out and kind of look at a place? Now, I'm talking about faith without works is dead. And so we got up and said, we go out and look at some places. We went around, and this was in Oak Park, and looking at some places. And we passed by this one building, and that was the building we ended up moving into, but it was kind of a luxury apartment building. My son was so small, he could stand up almost on the back seat, but he was asleep and woke up, looked over to his right and saw the building and said, we're going to live right there. I said, boy, because I knew I didn't have any right there money. But I told you, you do not have a money issue. And if you don't get anything else I said tonight, you put that in your spirit. I don't care how much debt you owe. I don't care what's going on with your family, with your whatever. It is not a money issue. Make a money issue out of it and you'll struggle.
Jesus.
Because you'll come down in the territory where the enemy is going to war with you. But what you have is an issue of faith.
Yes.
Because all the earth already belongs to you. So what happened? We looked at some places and we said, man, I don't like that, or I don't like this place, or I don't like that place. Just wasn't us, you know. Came back and rode back by that building that David pointed at. Just rode by it, you know, didn't look at it hard. Just rode by it. So the next day was Sunday. I said, well, baby. So we got 5 more days. Be moving out. Now I'm on my way to, we're on our way to church, and I don't think she minds me telling you this. She said, where are we gonna move? Now, so I don't know what happened to praise the Lord, but now she's asking me. I'm just saying, a lot of folks can sit up in here. But where is your faith? See, the enemy did not want us to get started in Chicago. And I wouldn't be surprised in the spirit if he had called demons from Africa to try to stop us. Got it? And so I said, okay. I said, well, I don't know, but we moving in 5 days. Well, no, I just want you to tell me where we're going to move. I said, I just told you where we're going to move. I don't know where we're going to move. But I do know this, we're going to move in 5 days. Now, I'm not backing off my confession. I'm holding fast to the confession of my faith, because my job is to believe it and speak it. That's my job. He does the rest. So some tears start coming in her eyes and so forth, because she wanted to move. And, well, where are we going to move? I said, I don't know where we're going to move, but we're going to move in 5 days. And she's quiet over there. We went to church and came back. Next day, baby, we got 4 days. Now, I'm confessing this before men. We got 4 days and we'll be out of here. And she quiet then, didn't say anything, and I guess she got over it. And so now, the next day, we had 2 days left. I said, let's go down here and look at that building that David pointed at. We went down there. Walked in there like we had a lot of money. Do y'all want to hear this story or something? And I said, the lady, was in the office. I said, yes, my name is Bill Winston, my wife Veronica. We're looking for an apartment. She said, what would you like? Would you like efficiency, one bedroom, two bedroom? What would you like? I said, well, let's just look at all of them and see what you have. So she showed us two bedroom and one bedroom in efficiency. She came back to the office. She said, which one would you like? I said, you know, I think that efficiency would do us just fine.
All right.
And she said, okay, well, we'll schedule your furniture to be moved in. Let's see, we can do it. How's Thursday? Okay. And I said, furniture? She said, you do have some furniture, don't you? I said, well, now you got to understand, we're missionaries. We come in off the mission field. She said, oh. She said, well, I tell you what, we've got some furniture that we took out of the model apartment.
All right.
And we can put that in the apartment until you get yourself straight and so forth. Mm-hmm. She said, now that will be 1 month's rent plus 1 month plus another month. I said, okay, now 1 month, 1 month I can handle.
Come on.
She said, you can't handle it. She said, okay, we'll just spread that out over the year. She said, now to get into parking, it's garage, and it's 55. I said, how much? She said, we'll take care of that. I said, she said, the gas, she said, don't tell me. We'll just take care of that. Now, I'm not telling you to do this, but my faith was doing all of this.
Praise God.
Because I didn't have a money problem. I'm trying to tell you something, because you owe some debt. And if you owe some debt, you're trying to take it and make it a money thing. If you take it, make it a faith something, you can get this thing paid off before the first quarter's up. You can get thousands of dollars paid off. And we're going to pay this building off for like just like that. Because I made a discovery on my vacation that this is not a money problem.
Not a money problem.
It is a faith problem. Say amen to that. So what I did, we moved in there, stayed in the efficiency for a little while, then moved to one bedroom and moved to a two bedroom and so forth and so on. But I wanted to give you that because faith without works is dead, see. You might not have to go through all we went through, because you got to understand that enemy was fighting me tooth and nail. Because he did not want me to get a beachhead established here in Chicago, because he knew I was going to bring you in. And that was going to be tough on him. Say amen to that. All right, y'all with me? I got 1 minute left here, so let me just see where I'm going now. Just a minute. Don't move. All right. Now, let's look at the scripture. Let's go to Mark chapter 4 and then Isaiah chapter 54. Mark chapter 4. Let me know when you get to Mark chapter 4. Just go to Mark chapter 4 first. Y'all with me? Now, notice what he told the woman. Thy faith has made thee whole. The tendency that a lot of Christians have is to leave it up to God. And really, to leave it up to God is to give place to the devil. Got it? Over in Exodus 14, they came out of Egypt and came right up to the Red Sea. And what happened was Moses made a statement. He said, fear not and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, you shall see them no more forever. And verse 14, it said, and the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. But verse 15 says something interesting. The Lord said to Moses, why are you crying to me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward and lift up your rod and stretch it over the hand. See what I'm saying? I'm saying folks are waiting on God. But God's waiting on you because he needs your participation and your permission to get involved with you to do something for you. Got it? Now, I'm saying that people say, well, the Lord's going to heal me. He knows my problems. He doesn't know your problem, but you're going to participate because faith without works, come on, is dead. All right, verse 35 of Mark chapter 4. I'm speeding up now. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when he had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. They awake him, and they said to him, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? He arose and rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no what? Faith. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey who? Him. They really didn't obey him. What did it obey? He obeyed the faith that he had because they could have had the same faith and done the same thing. Got it? But they got the word, let us go over to the other side, but through the travel, they let the word slip. And now when it's come time to use their faith, they didn't have any faith. Now, let's go one more place because this is very significant and I'm done. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. All right. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Could you put that up on the board for me, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Thank you. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph, come on, in Christ. Now, did it say sometimes? Did it say 60% of the time? Did it say you're going to win 90% of the time? Any battle you are in, you win. Every time. Say every time. Whatever you're going through right now in your finances, you win. Don't let the devil tell you you're not going to win. Don't let him put doubt in your mind about God is not going to help you win. Because if you just use what you got and let him do the rest of what you want, you will win every time. Say amen to that. And when I said God told me to come back and say this, that you don't have a money problem, you have a faith problem. So if I have a faith problem, then I'm not adding up the money. I mean, I understand, I know what the debt is, but I'm not looking at that as if I got to work it off. I'm looking at it as if I got to believe it off. Got it? It's not something that I look at it and say, my Lord. See, that's what got me almost on this jet thing. You know what I mean? Because I said, oh, Lord, these people, man. You see, I'm looking at the jet, looking at the people, you know, and all of this, looking at my pocket and so forth. But I shouldn't look at any of that. What I should look at is what did God say concerning my travel? He said, a bird of the air shall carry my voice. Say amen to this. I went down to Bahamas on commercial. I went down there. They lost the luggage going down there. Then I'm coming back. They lost it coming back. Now, I saw there was a luggage stealing demon that was traveling on that plane. Now, my point to you is that I cannot afford that where I go. I just going on vacation that time. I just kind of loosey-goosey. But when I'm traveling for some business for the Lord, I cannot afford to get there and my books not arrive. Come on now. Now, I'm only telling you that because in the situation I'm going, sometimes he knows that he's after the head. You know, he's, all right, that's a whole other thing. But I couldn't bring the airplane down to where I thought folk can handle it. So I kept it up there. Now, there's some good news about this airplane, but I can't release it yet. I can't release it yet. But my point to you is, I learned, don't make it a money issue. That's why I told you. I said, okay, believe God for the money. Because I'm keeping it over in faith. And watch what... I can't tell you now. But something good is about to happen to you. Now, so whatever you got, don't add it up and make it a money issue. Because that'll mess your mind up. Man, now how am I going to get all this paid up? Okay, so what did I tell you? Okay, let me just read this. Let me let you go. Well, I'm telling you. Look what it said in verse 17. Are you with me? No weapon formed against you shall what? Prosper. And every, come on, tongue that shall rise against you where? In judgment, thou shall condemn. Question. Who is thou? Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let me just show you this and we out. You with me? Here's David. He's facing Goliath. Verse 43. Look what it says. The Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with a stave or a stick or a staff? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Now, curses can be sent out against people. That's why you got to get up every morning and reverse them. You got to speak some things, folks. Verse 44, and the Philistine said to David, come to me and I'm going to give your flesh to the fowl of the air and to the beasts of the field. Watch this. Then said David to the Philistine, now you coming to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but now I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied this day. Now I want y'all to see this now. I need some music on this, by the way. That's all. This day shall the Lord deliver you into my hand. Now notice what he said. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Watch this. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, who is responsible for condemning it? You are. You better say something. You better say something. Say amen to it. Because that enemy is trying to maybe curse you and keep you from your promised land, of which what you got to do is you got to rise up and say, listen here, this day will the Lord deliver you into my hands. Now let me say something here. This is something. Because David is saying, I'm going to take your head off. Then that army behind you, I'm going to feed them to the fowls of the air. That's the buzzards. So David is going to slaughter Goliath and slaughter the army. Watch this. In one day. I'm just saying, because you got a big debt, you think it's going to take 3 months. Listen. Do you see how big that project was that David had? He didn't put it on a human level. He took it up to the level of faith. And he said something. One day, folks, to fight those battles sometimes took a month, took 2 months, took 3 months. He was going to fight that battle in one day. Don't you let the devil put that thing off and tell you can have them debts paid in 3 years. Say, no, devil, I want 3 months. I want every debt that's against me. I'm about to cancel it, and I'm going to see a 3-month delivery. Then somebody might say, I don't want 3 months. I want it paid off. Sit down. When you're dealing with God, He's going to always cause you to triumph. But you got to speak it. It's up to you. Don't wait on him to condemn it. You condemn it. Come on now. Just let the devil feed you anything. Did y'all get something out of that? Well, give the Lord a praise for it then. Give him a praise. Let's receive it. Let's receive these debt payments. Let's receive this money coming in. Come on, this is your money. This is your time. We're going to receive him. Woo-wee. Glory to God. All right, sit down. I got to get you out of here. We're going to be talking to you tomorrow. Because God gave me what kind of year this is going to be in 2010. It's going to be the year of favor. Everything that's been stolen from you, coming home. Everything that's been taken from you is coming back to you. There's somebody here. I feel some faith up in here somewhere. There's a believer. There's a believer up in here somewhere. Woo! Hey! Hey! Woo! Y'all sit down. Y'all sit down. Come on, I got to get you out of here. I got a feeling everything gonna be all right. Say what you want. I got the word on it. I got the word on it. It's going to start at 12 midnight, 12:01. It's going to start coming. Things going to break. All right, sit down. Let me... If you're here and God has spoken to you about being saved, now understand, I can understand it, because at the one time I was not saved. I was religious. I had gone to church, but I didn't know Christ. And I'm saying that's the place where somebody might be here tonight. But thank God you came, because this is where you can come and get saved. This is where you can come and get a miracle in your life and get things turned around forever, and you can make a brand new start, that God wipes out all your transgressions and gives you a brand new start. Now, if you're here tonight, I'm not asking to join Living Word. You can do that tonight if you care to. But mainly I'm asking you to come and give your life to Christ. Let Jesus come into your house and let him change your life forever. So I'm calling now for anyone who does not know Jesus as Lord. You don't know him. Oh, you might have been to church, but you really have no relationship with him. I want to bring you into the kingdom. If that's you, take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair. Come on down and stand with me at the altar. And let me pray for you and pray with you right now. Praise God. Come on, somebody else over here. Get up. Come on down. Come on down. Yes, indeed. Good to see you. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Stand with me right here. Come on, stand right here. Praise God. Some more people. Somebody else over this side. Over this side. Come on down. Stand right here. Come on. It's the right place for you tonight. Good to see you. Good to see you. Amen. Good to see you. Right place for you. Come on down. Stand right here, sir. Right.